Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you can be seated. This isn't always true, but have you noticed that quite often unbelievers seem happier than believers? It's not always true, because sometimes when you're an unbeliever, the consequences of your actions catch up to you. And you go your own way, and there often are consequences to it. So it's not always true. But what I'm talking about is unbelievers often have a very carefree demeanor about their life, don't they? It seems like life is easier. The psalmists complain of that very thing. And they seem like they go through life just enjoying it. And this is the point I'm especially getting to. They often go through life without moral qualms. You know why, right? They don't have the Roman 7 problem. Some of you are saying, what's the Roman 7 problem? Well, you just heard the epistle lesson. By the way, that's a tongue twister, isn't it? The things that I want to do, I do not do. The things that I do not want to do, I keep doing. And I know what good is. When I do what I don't want to do, Paul says, I'm agreeing that the law is good. In other words, he's saying, I have God's law, and I agree with it. I want to do it, but I'm not doing it. Do you see how unbelievers have a happier life? Unbelievers often aren't breaking their moral code. Why not? They've kind of let themselves off the hook, frankly. And by the way, let's not say they don't have no moral code. This is one of the things I discover from talking to people. Everybody has a moral code, but most people say, I'm going to take all my favorite ways of sinning and not have that in my moral code, right? And so they do. They go through life feeling like, I'm not breaking my moral code. My moral code is quite simple. It doesn't ban any of the things I want to do. Doesn't that sound nice? St. Paul's in a different thing where he's saying, I'm not looking at my own moral code. I'm looking at God's holy law. And if I look at God's holy law, then I'm a believer. I'm not making up my code. I'm going to take God's code. And so I say to God, I'm going to do these things, not do those things. And then tomorrow, what do? The opposite. That's the Roman 7 problem. We're God followers. We're people of the book. We want to do what the Lord says. We want to please Him. And so we get stuck in this bind. It's difficult. I love, by the way, this text from St. Paul because it's very personal, right? Very often, St. Paul talks about elevated theology. He talks about really heavy theology. You can read St. Paul and say, what is he talking about? But that's not this. Paul's not talking heavy theology. He's talking personal experience. Did you hear how often he said the word I? Not you. Not the cosmos. He's saying, I don't do the things that I want to do. The things that I hate, that's what I'm doing. And I've tried, and I've tried harder. And I failed. He actually goes so far as to say this, I have tried to keep the law, but what does he say? I cannot. I cannot. So some people read this text, and some Christians like to let us off the hook too. So here's what they say. Some commentators will say, when Paul wrote Romans chapter 7, he's not talking about his life as a believer, he's talking about his life before he was a believer. And guess what? That ain't so. Paul does talk about the sins of unbelievers. That's Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2. Read those chapters where St. Paul describes the sin in the world. It's kind of grimy, actually. And St. Paul talks about the sin that people walk in, the sin that controls their lives, by the way. When I say walking, I mean the way that people govern their lives day to day to day. And St. Paul says, people do this. He's talking about unbelievers there. When he gets over to Romans 7, he's already talking about Christ and faith and salvation. And he's saying, now, as Christ followers, the things I want to do, I'm not doing. And the things I want to stop doing, I keep doing. That's a quandary, isn't it? Some people say the Christian life can sometimes be kind of schizophrenic. We're God followers, right? We love the Lord. We love His Word. We want to please Him. Are we sinless? No. It is a schizophrenic position to be in. Does the Lord want us to sin? Of course not. And we don't want to sin. And so you get this scenario, which I think is the correct one. I said before that when people aren't trying to please the Lord, they actually walk in the sin. You just live in it. You immerse yourself in it. And that's not true of a believer, right? God does not want us to walk in it. He does not want our whole life to be characterized by sin, but we sin. There's this wonderful, it's not a real contradiction, but there's this wonderful apparent contradiction even over in 1 John chapter 2, where John says this, and hear these words, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin." Got it? "I write this to you so that you will not sin," period, next sentence. "But if anybody does sin," hear what he's saying? "But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." So St. Paul is saying, I belong to Christ. He's actually even saying this. He says this elsewhere, right? He says, if you are in Christ, you're a what? New creation. But I'm walking that imperfectly. Now, he's got this whole thing. By the way, it is the tongue twister, right? What I want to do, I do not do. What I do not want to do, I'm doing. That's right. Read that sometime out loud. That's tough. But I want to notice something. Romans 7, verse 20, we don't want to misunderstand this verse. It could be sort of tricky. If you look at verse 20, it says, Paul's been talking about this quandary of the believer facing the law. He says, now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Now, this is what I don't want us to misunderstand. You could read that and say, well, Paul just made it sound like he's not accountable for his own actions. It's not me, it's sin, right? That you could read it that way. That's not what he's saying. Here's what he's saying. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I mentioned already. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Romans 6, we were baptized into Christ. So that's all true of us. What's he saying? Because of that, the old Adam has died. The new creation has come. So when I'm living as God wants, that's my new nature. But when I stumble in sin, he's saying that's against my new nature. He's not saying it's sin that does it. He's saying I look at it myself and don't like it. Right? Can you imagine this? And I think we've all been there. As a believer, we stumble into sin, and I think sometimes we look at it and we think, I can't believe I did that again. And isn't it aggravating? Sometimes it's the same thing. You would think, well, we're going to commit a sin, hate the sin, and never do it again. And isn't it our experience very often that I have one specific place of temptation and Satan picks at that scab? And every time we stumble, we say, Lord, I'm not doing it anymore. And then we do, what do we think? Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it again. That's the Romans 7 problem. Paul is so immersed in this. And like I say, he's sharing honestly, openly, personally. He's sharing what it's like to walk the faith. And we can read this and say, Paul, I'm with you. So much so that toward the end of this chapter, he's been speaking about the way this goes. Verse 24, here is words, just as open expression. What a wretched man I am. I mean to be sinless and I stumble. Lord, I mean to please you and I've fallen. Lord, I promised to live a better life. I did it again. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me? And then he answers his question. Isn't that nice? Who will rescue me? Verse 25, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, that's almost the end of the chapter, right? And I want to point something out. Sometimes the chapter divisions are a disservice to us. Romans 7 is full of the struggle of a believer. Actually, Romans chapter 6 and 7, both those chapters are the life of the believer, saved by grace, saved by faith, confronting the law, how do we deal with the law, and then winding up with this, what a wretched man I am. And then all of a sudden, he answers it only in one sentence, thanks be to God, he delivers me in Christ. And we think, oh, that's the end of the chapter, we're done. We should read into Romans 8, because if we keep going into Romans 8, we will find that our Lord has actually given us two things. Two things to deal with the mess we're in. The Romans 7 problem. Here they are. Romans 8, 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Here's two little words. We struggle with the sin nature. Know these words, in Christ. That's us, right? In Christ. How do we leave this place? In Christ. How do we walk tomorrow? In Christ. How do we exist? How do we have our being? How do we relate to our family? How do we relate to our neighbor? In Christ. And the reason he uses those terms, by the way, that's not just in Romans 8. Read St. Paul and look for it. It's all over the place. Romans 6, 3, we were baptized into Christ. I've already mentioned 2 Corinthians 5. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. I was emphasizing before the new creation, but you hear again, even there he said, if anyone is what? In Christ. When did that happen? In our baptism, right? And this is what St. Paul is saying. We are baptized children of God, and Paul is saying, I've worked to please God. And guess what? It's not works. It's a status, right? It's a condition. It's a situation that we are in Christ. As a baptized child of God, you belong to God. You're a son of God, a daughter of God. Will you have good days and bad days? Yes, and both days you're in Christ, see? We're imperfect, but are we growing? Like we hope, right? We're growing in the faith, we're growing in living. But even as we grow, guess what we are? In Christ. Know those two words, critical to to Paul's thought. Second answer is this. His first thing is, we're in Christ. The second answer is this, to live in accordance with the Spirit. To live in accordance with the Spirit. He says in 8:4, God has condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not, hear these words, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And then it continues, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. He's setting up a contrast. St. Paul is saying, you're either walking according to the flesh or you're walking according to the Spirit. And the reason he wants to say Spirit is this. In Paul's day, there were philosophers, there were thinkers, there were writers, just like now. There's 101 self-help books, right? And you know what 9 out of 10 tell you you need to do? If you want to have a better life, what do they say? They say you need to look inside. Isn't that right? They say the truth is in us. And if we would look in us, we would find in there truth and character, and we should walk that way. And St. Paul is saying, it's the exact opposite of that. Don't look in us. If I look in me, do you know what I see? I want to do well, but I don't, right? That's what I see. If I'm not going to look inside, where should I look? Outside. Look outside. It's not for me to be stronger. It's not for me to be better. It's for me to be led, and actually, let's use this word, it's for me to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, right? For me to be in Christ and for me to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, not looking inside, but looking outside, and outside saying, the cross of Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit will get us wherever He wants us to be, right? Here's a memory verse for you. Romans 8:6. Take a peek at this now. Say it once in a while. Romans 8:6. You don't have to memorize the second half. But 8:6 says this, and it's the contrast again. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. That's what I would like everyone to know. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. That sounds nice, doesn't it? To know who we are in Christ, to walk according to the Spirit, and to have in our lives God's life and peace. That sounds like the prescription we need, doesn't it? Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.